There I am, in the midst. Amen?
So just two guys together.
Now we can always say, me alone with God is enough. Well, yes and no. In the Old Testament, God will use individuals and all that. But God's dream is always the church. The longest chapter in the book of Genesis is about the church. It's about preparing a bride for the beloved son, Isaac. And it became the longest chapter. It talks about how the unnamed servant went to search, sent by the father who loved his son, sent on an errand to find a bride for the beloved son. It tells you how he found the bride, Rebecca, and she was beautiful. That's God's idea. God put the stories there because they are all about Jesus and his bride, his church. Amen? The many-membered body of Christ. Can I have a good amen? And we got to learn that everything we want and we need is found in the church, in the house of God. When I say church, I don't mean the building. I don't mean concrete. People always think of church as the church down the street or the church over there. And I understand the expression, but don't think like the world. The church is wherever we gather together. The smallest plurality is a real church. Amen? And something happens when God's people come together. You take a pen one day when you're free and go to the book of Acts and just underline every time you find one accord, every time you find in one place, something happens, even an earthquake, amen, where no one is destroyed, no one is hurt, but chains are loose, bondages are broken. You find great things happen when God's people are all in one accord. I'm not referring to the Honda, I'm referring when they're all in one accord, something happens, amen. People are funny, sometimes they will say things like, he rode a motorcycle because his triumph was heard throughout the land, you know, things like that. On that, Nehemiah, the shortest guy, Nehemiah, or whatever, you know, I try to avoid that, but once in a while it comes up. But we thank God for the church. The church is alive and well, and Jesus is coming back for his church. Can I have a good amen? Not the established church that calls themselves a denomination or whatever. Alright, the denomination itself is not the church. Amen. The church is made up of the people in that denomination. A denomination is not God's idea, but unfortunately it is here to stay. Amen. It sort of separates people, but in God's eyes we are all one. Once you're born again, you are born the church, in the church. Amen. And the church is the most successful organization. I want to say this, more than Alibaba in the East and more than Amazon in the West. So don't envy them, envy yourself. Alright, they only have 100 billion. Or at least Amazon does. We have more. But where is it, Pastor Prince? Jesus is the greatest billionaire or zillionaire the world has ever seen. When need is there, it comes out of nothing. No one can do that. No one can do that. Amen? All the supply is in heaven. Amen. Unless God gives, nothing is received. Unless God imparts, we can have nothing. Even the platinum, the gold, the silver, everything was put in place here for his church. You see, when you build a house, you don't build a house for other people's kids. When you put treasures in the house, it's not meant for other people's children. It's meant for your children. I think at least that's how it works, isn't it? You don't correct other people's children, you correct your own children. That's why we are also corrected under grace, because God loves us. As many as I love, I correct, I rebuke, Jesus said. So there is correction in the house of God. Amen? So this is God's greatest idea. You don't like this church, the particular expression of it, because the way we meet, we cannot possibly meet all over the world. People come together in one location, there'll be too many of us. So we are all in different places. Even Jesus spoke seven different messages to seven different churches in the book of Revelation. But the church is one. But yet the Lord recognizes the local church of Ephesus, the local church of Thyatira, the local church of Laodicea. He recognizes local church in Singapore as well. Amen. Can I have a good amen? And to each of the churches, the local churches, he has a separate message. Amen. So you can be a local church and you're growing well. You can be a local church and Christ is not preached. And you don't grow well. So it's possible. It's possible. So when the Lord writes to the seven churches, he calls those who overcome, those who are truly born again in that church. In other words, when he talks to the church, he assumes the church is saved. Alright, he knows who are saved and who are not. But then he says to some of them who are not saved, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire, white raiment. You don't tell a believer to get white raiment. He has the righteousness of God. He is the righteousness of God in Christ. Can I put it, amen? You tell unbelievers in the church, because even a church like ours, we have people that come who don't believe. I don't know why they come, but amen. We welcome them all, amen. In fact, the church should always be a place where people are welcome. Those who don't believe are welcome. It should be like that. Can I have a good amen? You should be inviting your friends. Amen. When I say I don't know why people come, that refers to Christians as well, because when I think about the fact that you all come, I'm still, it's a wonder to me. Amen. When people say, Pastor Prince, the people are responding well to your television ministry in America and all that, I still find that hard to believe, really. You know, I think Pastor Darren described it well. He says that Pastor Prince is a shy person. I really am. I'm not the kind of person that you know, can stand pulpit and talk freely. Amen? But this is a gift. This is an anointing. This is God. And those who know me, they know that I'm a very shy, family person. You know, I don't really... some of you can really socialize, man. You can move around in circles and all that. I'm still pretty shy. You know, and I don't like interviews. I really don't like interviews. Give me the mic and I'll preach. That's the anointing God has given me, all right? But I don't like interviews, amen? I'm shy. And whether you believe it or not, it is true, okay? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So have you greeted your friends around you? Yeah, okay. I'm testing you right now, their names, okay? Okay, praise God. Let's go right into the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For you see your calling, brethren. Now, do you all see your calling? He's assuming that you are seeing. You see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh. Okay, I'm going to say this right now. I it keeps on coming in my spirit. There's a couple here. You're not on talking terms anymore, but you are attending church. That's the wonder of it. Thank God you are attending church. Okay, keep on coming. The church is not for perfect people. Amen. And even your marriage is not perfect. Keep on coming. Give the Lord a chance. Amen? And you're not talking to each other for some time now. You know, very brief words here and there. But there's something that happened that caused you all to no longer feel the same feelings anymore. But the Lord just said this to me. The devil has marked your marriage for destruction. Okay? But I have marked your marriage with great favors. Amen. God has a destiny for you, and if you allow Him, okay, don't look to each other. Don't try to draw what you feel that the other person is not providing from the other person. Look to the Lord. Just look to the Lord. Nothing is easier than looking. I'll be talking about that in a while's time. Nothing is more easier than looking. Really, just looking. Now, what are you all doing? You're looking at me. Unless your eyes are asleep. Close. Your shades are closed, right? But nothing is easier than looking. But it's another thing when the Bible says looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, that looking is a looking like a person is drowning, right? In the water, doesn't know how to swim, and he looks and he sees the lifeguard. That kind of looking is different from just glaring. You understand? So that looking unto Jesus is the person who is drowning, looking unto the lifeguard, looking unto for help. Looking unto. So, if you can just look to Jesus and say, Lord, I can't do anything anymore. I don't even feel like praying, but I'm looking to you. If you can do anything in this marriage, do it. That's all he asks of you. And he's going to turn the water into wine. Amen? So that, I feel I must release that. Praise God. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise. Now, he didn't say, in all these things, you will see not many. Doesn't mean none. Okay? Not many wise are called. Not many wise according to the flesh means naturally. From now on, when you see the word flesh, think naturally. Alright? Not many wise according to the flesh are called. Not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty. Not many noble are called. Have you seen that? And then goes on to say, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, the things which are nothing, you know, not means nothing. The things which are not, to bring to nothing the things which are something. Isn't it amazing? God uses nothing to bring nothing things that are something. This applies to cancer, tumor, disease that are something, right? Right, come on. God uses, you know how God unifies it? Uses things that are nothing to bring to nothing that cancer. God uses this throughout the scriptures. I'm going to share with you this principle because once you understand this, you know how God works. And you can flow with Him. Many of us are trying to flow with God like a superhero. Alright? He's up here, I need to rise up to His level. No, no, God is down here. God has come down. Haven't you seen how He always loved to come down to your level? He sent His Son. Amen? Not as a... His Son was born king. He was not born to be king. He was born king. Bible says, where is He born king of the Jews? Amen. He was born king, yet He was a lowly king. He was among the peasants, among the poor, born in the most despised town in all Israel at the time, Nazareth. Because caravans will go to Nazareth. It's an overnight stay, a place of overnight stay. Those from the south go to the north, will stop by Nazareth, and those from the north, likewise, going to Egypt and the different continents. Israel is the land bridge of three continents, Asia. Asia to the east, Europe to the north, and Africa to the south. So everyone stops at Nazareth. It's a place of ill repute. And that's why one of the disciples, when he heard that Jesus is from Nazareth, he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But the place, the name, if you're known as a Nazarene, is despised. But Jesus has brought great perfume and fragrance and honor and glory to the name Nazareth. So much so that He's known as Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. When they command evil spirits to come out, or someone be healed, in the book of Acts, they say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that place is exalted. Amen. So God's way is always the lowly. Water seeks the lowest. Water never seeks the highest, it seeks the lowest. You want to be with God? Be in a humble place. Learn the principles. And God chooses the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Right, drop down. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. So Jesus is our wisdom from God. He is our righteousness, our sanctification, which is holiness. And He's our redemption. If you are sick, know this, Jesus is your redemption from that sickness. Amen. If you are poor, all right, always broke, amen, always not having enough, seems like there is a cloud over you, a cloud of poverty, Jesus is your redemption from that curse. Jesus is your redemption from poverty, amen. Jesus is your redemption from death itself. Amen. He's our everything. That, as it is written, he who boasts or glories, the word here actually boasts. He who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. We have no other glory. Amen. I just told you my shyness. I just told you last. Y'all know my story. I'm going to repeat, but how I was a stammerer and a stutterer. Amen. So God uses weak things of the world. Ladies don't like to be known as weak, but look, the glory is yours. The power and the strength is yours. And there's some men that are strong naturally, but they are weak in many, many ways. And the more you glory in your strength, the more you see weakness. The story of Gideon is a beautiful example. When God first called for Gideon, you know, God chooses people that are the simplest and the most despised. Are you in some way handicapped in some way because of your upbringing? You didn't have the opportunities of financial support, or you didn't have your parents with you, or you know, you were an orphan, or you had one parent who left when you were young, whatever, you know, challenges you might have. that you feel handicapped by. Or maybe it's your physical side of things. Alright, you don't have some parts, or you feel like you always have a weakness with your legs or something like that. All you feel is your mind. You have intellectual disabilities. And it's been proven, you know, by the powers that be, that you have this condition. They call it, they have three, you know, usually three or four letters of the alphabet to describe it, but that's not how God sees you. God sees potential. God sees opportunities for Him, for His beauty to manifest. And I've said before, if you are naturally good looking, you tend to depend on your good looks. You don't depend on God's favor. Amen. So if people meet you, right, they are attracted to you by sight. They talk to you for a while, but after for a while, you know. Amen. And then, but there are those who are naturally plain and all that, but the more you talk to them, the more you get to know them, they get more and more beautiful. You know, the favor of God is on them. And that's why I wish I can teach this even to our young people. You know, when they are growing up, they always think, because of the celebrities and all that, the media and all that, they really think that to be good looking is the answer, you know, to have the best, to wear the best, you know, is the answer. It is not. The Bible says that what makes a man, and this is a modern translation, the King James says the desire of a man is his kindness. What makes a man desirable is his kindness. And the word there is chesed. Let me tell you this. Your girlfriend would rather you be a chesed man. Amen. A man of grace. A kind man. Your wife would rather have you be that. Alright, than be a good looking celebrity. No amen, but it's true. Amen. Praise God. Your kids would rather have a father who is chesed. That makes him desirable. For a woman, what is the thing that you look for? Well, there's a verse in Proverbs as well. It says that charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain, which means empty. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Who can find a virtuous woman? You know what virtuous that is? The word for strength. The word for power sometimes is used for armies. Strength of armies. The word is virtue by strength. Virtuous strength. There's a strength that the husband can sense in that woman. Amen. A beauty and inspiration. That is really attractive. Not macho. We don't want macho. Alright? Yes, I believe women are. Yeah, you don't. You see, if you're created equal, you don't have to fight for it. Alright? You don't have to fight. Yeah, that fight was over already. There was a fight last night. Finish it. Okay? You're equal. Settle it. You are. In fact, sometimes I feel more. Yeah, you know, I feel like you are smarter than us. Let me establish that. Most women are smarter. Right, June? Most women are smarter. Even those who appear dumb, they are smarter. Especially those who appear dumb. Right? Like one time my husband and wife were quarreling. Some of you have shared this before. And the husband is so exasperated with the wife. Says, I don't understand why God made you all so beautiful but so dumb. The wife says, very simple. God made us beautiful so that you will marry us. God made us dumb so that we will marry you. Okay, you're like that, huh, ladies? Okay. How did we come in there? Anyway. God says, I don't want the intellectually brilliant. I don't want the handsome and the good looking and the sophisticated. I don't want the muscle physique. God takes pleasure, the Bible says God does not take pleasure in the strength of men or in the legs of men or the legs of horses. In those days they run. You know, that's how they show their prowess. God does not take delight in all these things. God uses the weak things that are despised, to put to shame the things that are. The values of the world is totally opposite. And you might say, but hey, loser, what's the brain? You know, yeah. And that's what the world thinks. The world bullies people that are weak and despised. Amen. They make fun of the, and it's terrible. You know, in there are some parts of the world where people prize beauty and all that. They make fun of
of children that are intellectually disabled or not attractive looking, that's how bullying go on. People who come from families that are fortunate to have money and all that, they sometimes feel themselves in a superior position. When she's empty, it's just empty. We have seen families without their financial support overnight or market crash or whatever, and all of a sudden they find it's empty. That's all they have. Amen. I'm not against money. I'm not against people who are blessed. Thank God. God bless us also. Amen. And many of us here, when we started our lives, we started with almost nothing, and today God has supplied us with all that we have. All that really matters. Amen. Praise God. And it includes money, right? Money is a tool. Money is a servant. It's not a good master. Okay. But I'm showing you the ways of the Lord. If you can learn that, you can learn how to receive everything that God is supplying. Many times we are tuning in to AM when God is on FM. You know, it's a different frequency. And you all know that nothing wrong with the supply, nothing wrong with God's light. It's the problem is that we are tuning in the right way. Sometimes some crashes is the love of God shaking you up before it's too late. Some people, even with crash also, they never get shaken up. They are still trying their best. They are the ones that drown, because you can only save those who are willing to be saved. But those who fight you while they are still strong cannot be saved. Back to this again. So, go back to the first part that you see your calling. Not many. So don't feel like Pastor Prince. I graduated from Blackley, and after that I went to Stanfield Blackley. You know, whatever you say, people get offended. So now things must stop like that. This is called wisdom. Alright? I graduated from Blackle with this Blackle. Oh no, the accent tells you about the country, yeah? Okay. And also I graduated from So that's fine. I'm glad you are here. But don't be offended. I'm wise. I'm based on the word. Yeah, that's why the Bible doesn't say not ever any wise are called. It says not many. Say you want a few, okay? Happy now? Can I continue my sermon? Okay, thank you. So not many. Not many mighty also. So Pastor Lawrence is one person mighty. Alright? But not many of us are there. Right, Lawrence? Not many of us. So don't feel offended. Alright? Like God cannot use my muscles. Alright? Not many, he says, not many muscle people he calls. Alright? So you're one of the few. Okay. It is not those things. It's okay to be good looking. It's okay to have money. It's okay to have education. It's okay to have these things. It's okay to have muscles. It's okay to, you know, have all these things. But the problem with these things is that when it makes you proud, it makes it your license, the means by which you obtain. It makes you make those things your confidence and then your boast. Then that becomes a problem because God cannot use it. And that's why I believe that before we look at Gideon, I believe that Samson was a very weak man. And all the movies that they portray Samson, they made a mistake. They always have a strong, muscular man, right? As Samson. I really think that Samson is the kind of guy, man, I'm telling you, he runs around, he sounds like an anklum. You know the anklum? You know that wooden thing that they shake the rattle and it makes a kind of musical noise, right? Especially in Malaysia, you find the instrument. Yeah, sometimes they run around like anklum. These people, they have to run around in the shower to get wet. They're so skinny. I believe that Samson is so skinny, I believe that. So that when he unhinged the gates of brass, everyone knows it's the Lord on this man. Then God gets the glory, that no flesh of glory, but it is his muscles. Like in the movies, you know, they have a Mr. Universe, one time they had a Mr. World acted as Samson. Oh, that was Hercules, sorry. But they always have big guys, you know, big guys acting. And then when he does something great, you know, it's his muscles bulging and all that. And young people are watching and kids think they have kind of body. But you know, my Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came on him. He was ordinary before he could do anything until the Holy Spirit came on him. So I believe that he was skinny.
Amen. Can I have a good amen?
And when it comes to people that are plain, God has a beauty that the world has not seen. That's beyond cosmetics, beyond Botoxology, and beyond South Korean plastic surgeons. God has something called radiance. You cannot have radiance if you depend on your own attractiveness. I have seen that, people. You know, my pastors and I, Lawrence, will agree with me because he was with me recently, and all the pastors, Pastor Joe, also will agree that when I meet people, and there's a long queue of people who meet me, right, in America, I can tell how many have been reading my books, how many have been listening to me, how long have they been listening, just by looking at their faces, right? You can tell those because there's a radiance. Right? He looks a bit, do you see his eyes look a bit hurt? I think it's a muscle issue. And so I can tell by their faces how long they've been following. And I can also tell who's dragged along. When I'm doing book signing or whatever, I can tell who is dragged along and who is not. I can tell just by their faces. It's nothing to do with beauty or handsomeness or, you know, good-looking features or whatever. Some of them, many of them are quite good-looking people, okay, in the natural even. But there's a radiance when they follow grace, amen. There's a radiance that they themselves are not even aware of. Amen. If you ever have this opportunity of just spending some season with the Lord, some time with the Lord, whether it's in the Word or listening to the Word and all that, are you praying? And then you walk past the mirror, you're stunned. You look younger, you look brighter, you look radiant. Have you seen that? Have you seen two lovers? Okay, I can give you a natural illustration. It may help somewhat. Have you seen two lovers, you know, in a park, and you're walking towards them, and then so happens they're saying goodbye, you can see the little kiss here and there, you can see they're in love, young love, true love. Amen? And then the girl or the guy walks towards you, you look at the face. It's shining. It's not shining for the partner anymore, it's just shining, it's just like happy. You know? Not like that, but radiant. We don't realize that how our face shines, look to the Lord and be radiant. Amen. God uses people with no education either. England in the 1800s was shaken by the gospel of Jesus Christ by one man who was also a pastor, and he's a pastor of the first large mega church in the world. During his time, he was the first. Tens of thousands of people congregate to hear him every Sunday. His name? Charles Spurgeon. When Charles Spurgeon was a young man, it was a snowy day. He was marching, trudging through the snow, looking for a church. He was burdened by sin. And then there was a small church. He went to the church, and the pastor wasn't preaching that day. It was a shoemaker in the congregation, and very few people. And the guy stood up, and the guy preached from the text, "Look unto me and be ye saved." And the guy expounded, looking. After that, looking to who? Looking unto me, the Lord says. And what's the result? Saved. 3 points only. And Charles Spurgeon got saved. And he had no education. But have you read his writings? The words he used, you gotta meditate for a while to understand his words. Amen? And such poetry, such a beautiful expression, that is a young boy, that was a young boy without education. God can use you. God can use you. Can I be good? Amen. Back to Gideon. This is a time when the enemies were attacking, right? And every time they have a crop, they planted a crop, harvest time, the enemies will come, the Midianites will come and take the crops. So a young man called Gideon, okay? This is what happened to him. Now, the angel of the Lord, which most likely is the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, as the angel of the Lord in the Bible is always him, he came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." So God does not see you the way man sees you, right? And he was hiding. Can you see that? He was hiding, trashing, alright? In stealth. He was secretly, you know, doing reaping, harvesting, without the knowledge of the Midianites. All in hiding, right? And yet the Lord appeared to him and says, "You mighty man of valor." I mean, look, God calls those things that are not as though they are. But that doesn't mean those things are not in God's eyes. Those things are. Those things are not in our eyes. God calls those things that are not visible, not palpable, alright? God calls those things that are not in our own eyes as though they are. So when we come up to God's realm, God sees things we don't see. Can I be good? Amen. But why did God choose Gideon? And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" You ever ask questions like this?
No, none of them.
"And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Now, would you say this is like a man of valor? Okay. Look at God's answer. "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites.'" Now, I tell you this. Every time I hear this preach, I think I've never heard it preach correctly. This part here, "Go in this might of yours." I've always heard people saying, alright, that God called Gideon, alright, either that he's brave, even though he was hiding, you know, he had faith. Now, he had faith, he manifested faith later on, but he was growing faith from the start. The thing is this, he was, if God is with us, where are we, all that kind of thing, he's weak. We know here, his name is mentioned in the book of Hebrews 11, as one of those in the hall of faith, but see how God starts with him, right? It is his weakness. So when God says, "This might of yours," you know what is it? His weakness. That's the accurate interpretation. "Go in this might of yours. As long as you are weak in your own eyes, this will be mighty. This is your might." And never lose that sense of conscious weakness. Yes, you can say, "Let the weak say, I am strong." But remember this, you are strong in the Lord. Yes, it's true. You are not a sinner anymore. You are the righteousness of God. But in Christ Jesus, in and of yourself, God left the flesh in you so that you will never boast, you will never glory. God left the flesh in all of us. God could have us be born again without the flesh. But he left the flesh in us, and there's this paradox. Sometimes I feel righteous, you know, I kind of don't feel righteous, but the word says I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And I have all these wrong thoughts, all these wrong feelings, and yet God says sins have been removed from my life at the cross once and for all. Amen. And yet I'm struggling. So there is this paradox because there is a flesh. And one day the flesh will be no more. When Jesus comes for us, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll have a new, brand new body. Now the flesh is not the body, though it uses the body, but it resides somewhere, I feel, in the speaking, if I may, from my idea of the flesh, is this, is that it's somewhere involving the body and the soul. Whereas when the rapture comes, our spirit remains the same, it's still born again spirit, and our soul is whatever order it is, whether you're more mature than others, your soul, right? But then your body is changed. The only part of you is changed, your body. And you have no more flesh. The flesh is the part that loves to sin. You got that from Father Adam. But he's no more our Father. We are in Christ. The last Adam. Can I have a good amen? Are you with me so far? So, he didn't listen. I like it. You're looking to the Lord. If the Lord is with us, then this thing should not happen this way. This is good, because I am with you now. He's about to say, I'm with you. Always remember this, all right? Your weakness is how I can work through you. Go in this might of yours. God didn't say, I impart to you my might, okay? So remember that. So God says, have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Watch this, indeed my clan
is the weakest in Manasseh. So God said, I'm going to use you. He says, Mana Yesai.
That was in Chinese colloquialism, Hokkien, for Hokkien, right? But Manasseh is a tribe in Israel.
He says that my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. So there are 12 tribes, okay? There's a royal tribe of Judah,
amen.
There's a priestly tribe of Levi. So every tribe has clans in the tribe. Many clans. In the tribe of Manasseh, by the way, the people of Manasseh, they are actually from the lineage of Joseph. Right? Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh was rejected for Ephraim when he came to the firstborn blessing. Remember? The younger brother got it. So Manasseh is where Gideon came from. And not only that, already it is like a tribe that is not exactly high on the dignity level of the history of Israel. But of all the clans in Manasseh, he is the least. Gideon's house is the least. And then he says, and then in the least house, I am the least in my father's house.
Oh, this is after, you know, that I'm at the bottom of the barrel. This one is not the bottom of the barrel. You're already outside the barrel. The barrel is on top of you. You are below the bottom of the barrel. You know what I'm saying? You are really down. Have you felt that way before? That you are the least in your father's house? And then when you do something, they always question, I know your reason why you are here. I know why. You know, that's what happened to David. David, his father even forgot that he had another son. Remember the prophet came to anoint a king? He had all his sons paraded in front of the prophet. And the prophet had to say what? Samuel had to say, are these all? I have one more son. Wow, imagine if you are the son. Alright, he's out there taking care of the sheep. And then Samuel says, you will not eat until he comes. Then he brought him. Why must Samuel say, you will not sit down and, until he comes? It's almost like you see the father, like, but he won't. Okay, no, I will not eat until he comes. It's almost like persuading the father, putting pressure on the father. The boy came in. The Bible says he was ruddy, fresh on the field. Amen. Probably, you know, smell of sheep. And the Lord says, arise, anoint him. This is he. Huh? And God used a boy. When Israel was defeated, I mean, Israel was threatened by the Philistines. Close to a massacre, but the Philistines didn't want to lose their army. They were confident they can beat Israel in the natural, but they didn't want to lose any men in the process. So they said, just send one champion. And they sent their tallest, their ugliest, their meanest, the strongest, a warrior. And how did God defeat the ugly, mean warrior, Goliath? A boy, a stone, and a sling. A boy, say, a boy, a stone, and a sling. Malu, you know. I mean, shame. This is embarrassing for the enemy. A boy, a stone, and a sling. How do you get a sling? Well, in those days, David would probably take a piece of hide or leather from a goat or an ox, right? And then he will take that piece, he will dry it in the sun until it's cured. Okay? And that piece of that will become the sling. And then after it's cured, he leaves it in the sun for it to be tanned. After it's tanned, it takes a process. Then he'll take some salt and he will rub into it until it becomes smooth and soft. Then it's ready. Then he takes it out, he puts it in his pocket, he goes out while he's taking care of sheep, he used the sling as target practice until it became very accurate and very good. And that's what happened to Goliath. He never saw, and you know, archaeologists tell us they found the Philistines, not Goliath, but Philistines' helmet, their attire, their helmet. They found the helmet of the Philistines, and it actually covers all the way to the brow. So, for the Philistine to have his forehead exposed, must be he was laughing. David shot him. It was the last laugh. And David cut off his head because David knew how to get ahead in life. Amen? A boy? A stone. I know he chose 5 small stones, but he only used 1. A stone! I mean, if
Goliath fell, okay, he wasn't dead yet. He says, at least, you know, let me die in style. An arrow or whatever. This is embarrassing. By a boy, a stone, a sling, that was his last thought probably. That's God's way. You think I'm just a boy, I'm the least. Well, you qualify. The Lord said to him, surely I'll be with you and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Amen? And you know how he did, right? Finally, when the battle came, he used a pitcher with a light and a ram's horn. And he told his men, follow what I'm doing. Blow, get the attention of the enemy in the camp. Blow, you get the attention, right? But there's no weapon in his hand. Alright? And smash the pitcher and the light is exposed. And the enemy was defeated. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the Bible says. In jars of clay. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And then there's a breaking process. Alright, that God doesn't use sickness and all that. It's a breaking process, a breaking of our self-confidence and self-will. Amen. So that light can shine. And you know what the man said when he broke the thing? The man shouted, the sword of the Lord! And Gideon, where's the sword? You don't see it. But the most powerful sword is the sword of the Lord. It defeated the enemy. You know what gave Gideon the confidence to march into the enemy's camp? He had a dream. Oh, sorry, he only had a dream. He heard a dream. Gideon and his partner, alright, they crept all the way one night by stealth to the enemy's camp, and they overheard within earshot. Someone was talking in the camp. A soldier was telling another soldier, you know what? I had a dream last night. So terrible dream. Tell me your dream. Well, I dreamt that a barley loaf, you know what's a barley loaf? A barley loaf is the food of the common people, the poor. Jesus multiplied the loaves there are barley loaves. It's not wheaten loaf, which is actually the richer people will eat that. Barley is for the common people, the poor, food of the poor. It was a barley loaf, a picture of, see, a barley loaf was rolling down the hill and smashed the tent of Midian, the enemies, and all the tents collapsed and the people start scurrying away. So what a terrible dream, the other guy says. And one guy says, you know what is this? It's Gideon and his God. So Gideon got confidence from that dream. By the way, just like, you know, Midian means strife. Look it up in the Hebrew, Midian means strife. If there's strife and all that, you know what you need to roll into that situation? Jesus, the bread of life. He is the bread. Amen. Nothing virtuous, nothing mighty, nothing supernatural about a simple barley loaf. When Jesus took the five loaves and two fish, the loaves, there's nothing in that loaf. There's nothing in the fish. Everything is in the Lord. He uses the weak things, things that are small, insignificant. Amen? Nothing. Listen, it was a boy's five loaves and two fish. God used a boy, but he used only five loaves to feed more than 5,000. Nothing to do with the baskets. Nothing to do with the 12 disciples. All that to do with the Lord. Whatever you have, you got the Lord. He told him, God says what? Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites. We defeat strife in our life by putting Jesus into the picture. When someone talks to me about you know, I know that the person is trying to get strife out of the whole thing, I just bring Jesus into the picture. I just bring Jesus into the picture. Whatever you want to argue about, just bring Jesus into the picture. Amen? Can I have a good amen? Praise the Lord. Remember, even for healing for your body, God uses the things that are not as though they are. Some of you don't realize that, you know, when you go to a doctor and the doctor says there's nothing wrong with you, you know, it's just a simple stress thing, whatever it is, you don't realize that God healed you in the process many a times before it became worse. God healed you, God heard your prayer. But then it wasn't dramatic, you see, it wasn't a healing meeting and someone called you, you, come up here! And it's lay hands on you, and there was such a vibration. You felt that your hair was, you felt bouncing twice, boom, boom. You got up again, you were healed. The people like dramatics. So is that take communion, huh? Is it go for radiation? Take communion? Somehow our flesh, even today, even us preachers, we are gutting our flesh when we go to communion, for example. Really? We don't say that. But you see, God has used that simple emblem of the body of Christ to put to naught things that are diseases that the medical science have said. But you see, if I tell you, you got to run up the Himalayas two times, whatever, climb the deepest, whatever, or swim the deepest ocean, whatever it is, people will do it. Because they can see that they're doing something great. But God gives something simple. Let's look at this story. Once upon a time, there was a commander-in-chief of the Syrian army. He was an honorable man, the Bible tells us. I'm using the Bible that word for him. Honorable man. So much so the king liked him a lot. He has won many battles for the king, but he's from Syria. He's one of the enemies of Israel. But the problem with him is this. He's a leper. And then one day, one of the young girls that he captured among his prisoners, he took the girl as his wife's maid. And the King James used it, I like this, the little maid. I love that, the little maid. The little maid said to her mistress, Naaman's wife, why don't my master avail himself of that prophet's services in Israel? There is a God in Israel that heals. So the wife heard it, the wife told the husband. The husband, in the course of his interaction with the king, mentioned it to the king says, hey, and the king loved Naaman. And the king says, I'll write a letter to the king of Israel, and I'll tell him, all right, to send a prophet. So he wrote a letter to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel, when he received it, his reaction is like this. See, this king of Syria is trying to find an occasion to quarrel with me. As if I can heal, he said. And then Elisha heard about this. Elisha says, why is the king worried? Send him to me. Alright, so here came Naaman. Let's follow the story here. Amen. Naaman went with his horses and chariot, giving him all the entourage. And he stood at the door of Elisha's house. By the way, they uncovered Elisha's house. Right? And Lawrence is nodding his head. Cameron Lawrence again. Joy has been restored. Can you see his eyes? He's happy again. The word of God, you can't raise him again. When I talk about him, he's focused on himself, there's no radiance. But when I talk about the Lord, I think of the Lord, you see the radiance on his face, it's very again. Always remember this. Amen? Amen? Is he thinking about his muscles now? No. When he was thinking about his muscles, what happened? Anyway, very bad, Pastor Prince, very bad. That's not abuse of the pulpit. Okay, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. I won't say that they uncovered Elisha's house. And there are pictures. The first few days they uncovered, just uncovered. Lawrence was there with me and some of the pastors. I got a chance to go in. They didn't allow anyone to go in. Only a few were allowed to go in. So the man in charge told me, you can go in. Only you. And my cameraman, right, Patrick? Patrick and I got a chance to go in because he must be the cameraman, so he got an excuse. Everything down there is just exposed. Even his bed is actually ground or shaped into a step here, and that's where he slept. He's on the ground, but they don't want it to be broken in any way. They just uncovered it. All right, and on the ground, that's why it's safe, and it's still in shape and all that. But once you uncover the elements, the birds and all that, you know, will make holes and nests and all. So they are very careful about it. Elisha's house. And I did this on Elisha's bed. I lie down his bed. You know what happened, right? When Elijah, you know, Elisha, they lie on someone who's dead, right? I mean, resurrection light, right? So I thought I'll just lie down there. It was a real wonderful occasion. Anyway, Naaman came and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. He even mean him. Send a messenger. Commander-in-chief of Syrian, mighty Syrian army. On an errand sent by the king of Syria himself. And Elisha says, send a messenger. Right? Deliveroo or Central Uber or something. Just send a messenger. Panda, you know. Panda what?
Foodpanda, you know. He sent a messenger to the job, meet Naaman, and he says, go wash in the Jordan. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you. He was a leper, right? Your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Okay, be very honest, okay? Just how many of you have been to Israel? Separately, just one more time. Only a few? How many of you have been to Israel? Just let you know, okay? Right now in Israel, Pastor Mike is leading a Chinese group from China. And they are all in Israel. And these are people being infected by the gospel of grace. There's such an influx of Chinese tourists in Israel. Israel has the largest record-breaking tourists this year. It's hard to find a place. You know, all the hotels are booked all the way, you know, my event next year with Joel Osteen, a Grace and Hope DBN Israel tour. All the hotels are taken up. There's no more room. So this is what God is blessing Israel. Praise God for that. Amen. Now, have you been to the river? Have you seen the River Jordan? The first time you saw the River Jordan? Okay, your guy says you're about to go to the bridge, across the bridge, right? Or you go to your left, the River Jordan. By the time you all look, you see the last time. It was so small, even our Singapore River can be slightly larger in some places. I always hear this, and in my express, you can almost hear it. This is the River Jordan. This is the River Jordan. It's not like Mississippi. You know, it's not like the Victoria Falls, you see all the river that leads to it. You know, it's like torrential, it is free-flowing, swift. But this one, it's humble-looking. And so many Bible events happened there. Jesus was baptized there. But during the harvest time, it will overflow. And when it's overflow, it's very dangerous, right? And God had to open up a way for Joshua and his men to go through. So there's the River Jordan. So go wash in the River Jordan 7 times. Look at Naaman's reaction. Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." You see, he got this dramatic threat. Or at least I provide for him. You got it? I'm not the Abana and the Parva. Okay, these are the two rivers of Syria, okay? They still exist today. It's called Amana and the other one is not named. The rivers of Damascus, are they not better than all the waters of Israel? Pride. Can you see that? So God had to deal with that. That's the reason the instruction was given the way it did. Many a time we don't like the instruction. We want the healing. We don't like the instruction. And many a time the instruction humbles us, even in receiving healing. Are not the rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And then he lost it. Then why do you dig sometimes? When you were there? Why do you dig in the rivers of Damascus? Help yourself. It's in your backyard. Thank God his servants. And that tells you the kind of man Naaman was. He has pride, yes, but he was a person that was easily entreated. His servants came to him, and his servants knew that he would talk to, can be entreated. And the Bible says his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it?" See, he was looking for something great. Tell me, do something great. I am the commander-in-chief of Syria's army. Give me something great. So, if he had told you to do something great, would you not do it? How much more then when he says to you, "Wash and be clean." Very simple, right? So he went down. He humbled himself. So when he going down here, there's no such word as wending down here. Going. See, I think God uses. Okay, anyway. So he went down. It's a picture of spiritually, you know, morally also, a picture of him humbling himself. He went down. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Lord, give me that! Don't you want that? Oh man, he would have missed that. No need for surgery, nothing, no need to take all this medicine and this most expensive sheep placenta and what do you have nowadays? And all kinds of koyo and Chinese medicine and try this ginseng or ranjit seng or tantok seng and try this, try that. You don't have to take all that. God says, if you just follow my instruction, you'll be well. Many times his instruction is humbling. We just don't like it. Let me tell you, go to that brother and ask for prayer. No. Why should I go to him? I go to Pastor Lawrence. He got muscles. The brother's so skinny. Have you ever asked your child to pray for you? I have. I have asked Justin to pray for me. Yeah, they did it again. You see, need to let go life, man! In that tone. It's getting the word man with it, so everything is man, you know. Need to let go life, man! Then he would say, watch out for the train. I don't know what that means. Watch out for the train. I think one of his almost trains. Don't you? He would have missed having skin and complexion like a child. Starting fresh. He could have missed it. And he was so grateful that he says, you know, let me give gifts to you. And Elijah says, no. The gift of God cannot be purchased. You see, that is priceless. The moment you put a price tag to it, you cheapen it. Huh? Like a man was found many years ago, true story, jumping over the king's palace in England, all right, and stealing some apples, I think it was. And then he was caught, brought before the prince. And the prince said to him, why are you doing this? He said that, you know, the boy has tasted the apples in the market, he's frankly been very poor. And nothing tastes like the apples from the orchard of the king. He said, especially sweet. He just stole it for his boy, he bought, you know. And the king says, he said, you know, I will pay you anything. And the king took the apples and gave it to him and says, listen, you cannot buy this. I give it to you. So even with 1,000, 10,000, you cheapen it. You understand? Alright? The things of God, salvation, healing, cannot be purchased. Not by your works, not by your merits, not by your family name, not by your intellectual accomplishments, not with your money, nothing. And you know what Naaman did? Naaman became a believer. Naaman says, give me two, drop down. Let me show you what he said. Drop down. No more already. Oh, okay. I'll tell you what happened, okay? Okay. He says, give me two donkeys full of the earth of Israel. That means the donkeys will carry back, two donkeys will carry back earth from Israel. Earth from Israel. Please don't do this on board the plane and all, please. So long. New Creation Church, you are more mature than that, right? Alright, please don't do that. You know, we've had cases where big mineral waters have burst under the pressure. And you ask them, what happened? River Jordan. You know, you can't get River Jordan inside there. Please don't do that. Okay. So, Naaman got two donkeys full of the earth of Israel. And he says that he's going to put it in his house. And that's where he's going to kneel and worship the God of Israel. He said, from now on, I won't worship any other God. I'll worship God of Israel. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? God can use women. In the book of Judges, there's a woman called Yael. Or J-A-E-L, you say Jael, but Yael. And she's the wife of a man called Heber. And what happened is that, you know the story of Deborah? And who's the other guy? Deborah and? You don't know. Pastor Lawrence. Who's the guy? Barack! Obama? Barack! Deborah and Barack. I'll see you later. Deborah and Barack. He's trying to be weak. I'm weak intellectually. Alright. So, the two, you know, Deborah was a woman. Think about it. God used a woman to defeat the enemy. Alright? Led by a man called Sisera. So what happened to Sisera, the chief? He ran away. The course of the battle turned around, and Israel was winning, and Barak was winning, but it was actually commissioned by a woman, Deborah. Deborah. Your name is Deborah. It's a nice name. It's from Dabar, which is word, the word of God. Word. Is hay, which makes it feminine. Deborah, the word of God. Or it also means bumblebee. So you are transforming, you're transformed by the word of God. But listen, you know why bumblebee? Because the bee, what the bee does is that, there's another message altogether. I have another message, I don't want to get distracted. Anyway, there is a true of God, what's very beautiful about the bee and all that. Anyway, back to this, she commissioned him. Barak went into for the battle. The battle was turning around for Israel, and the chief of the armies, the general, fled. And he fled into this area where people were living, all right? And then he rushed into a tent of a woman called Jael, okay? And he said, please, I'm running away, and can I just take refuge here for a while? Please give me some water. And the Bible says the woman is very smart. The woman knew who he was. He could not deceive her. She knew he was the enemy of Israel and the general. Now see how God defeats Satan. Alright? Instead of giving water, she gave him milk. Now you know the effect of milk when you are tired? Makes you what?
Sleepy.
You drink milk at night to help you sleep. Right? It gives you a very sleepy effect. Okay? So instead of water, she gave him milk. And he fell asleep almost immediately after that. He was very tired and thirsty. He fell asleep. And the Bible says this homemaker, this lady, not a warrior, took the pack, the tent pack, which is like a large nail, okay? Took a hammer while the guy is sleeping, put it on his forehead. You must know what the guy has done to all of Israel's people. How he has decapitated, destroyed them, shred their skin. He's an evil man. She took the net hand pack. Are you all ready? If you're below 15 years old, please close your eyes. I'm a very demonstrative. You know what? Lawrence, why don't you do it? Come. You got a hammer here? You got a hammer? Well, I'll volunteer. Use my shoe, use my boot. Okay. So, and the Bible says she crushed his skull with one hit. He never woke up from that. And God said this, because you didn't trust me, Barak. When I say go, you didn't trust me completely. And God's way is like this. You don't trust him completely, you don't get complete victory. The honor won't go to you. From now on, the honor will go to a woman. Because he took a Deborah to send you, a woman will get the honor for the victory. When God told Israel, I think in Judges chapter 1, God says, go up, let Judah go up. Who shall go up first? They asked the question, probably the Urim and Tumim. God says, Judah will go up against the enemy. You know what Judah did? Judah called Simeon along. So they conquered a lot of territories, but finally they can conquer some places because they had chariots of iron. What is this? What are chariots of iron before God? I ask you. Didn't the chariots of iron of Egypt all perish in the Red Sea? Didn't God pull out their spokes and they drove heavily, the Bible says? What are chariots of iron to God? But they could not fight. Judah was limited in his victory. Why? Because God called him alone to fight. But he dragged his brother along to feel more comfort and more confidence. So he didn't trust God completely, he didn't get complete victory. There are areas in our life where we limit God. Are you listening? So the victory came to, was given, the honor was given to a woman. In those days, it's out of the norm. Amen? What did God say to Samson? That he must never do. There are three things he must never do, right? But above all, this is the ultimate. You lose that, you lose the strength that's been flowing in your life. What is it? Now, because I'm going to ask Lawrence to write that right publicly. I'm going to ask Lawrence again, okay? It's a chance of restoration. Okay. Lawrence, what must he not do? Huh? Cut his hair. Cut his
Samson.
Hair. Correct or not?
Got losing the strength when he has a hair.
Correct? Cut his hair. Yes.
the understanding.
He can't touch a dead body and all that, but actually he did all that, and he still has powers. He was under man's right now, but his hair was long, 7 locks.
Wow.
Okay, now let me tell you about something about long hair. In that day, in that culture especially, you know when you grow up as a young boy and you can't cut your hair, even my boy, 5 years old, how many haircuts has he had? You know? So definitely, Samson's hair was very long when he was a boy. So the name Samson, Shimshon. Right, probably the kids will use the feminine version. Shimshona. They'll make fun of him because he looks like a girl. He had long hair. No one has long hair in that culture. But he was under a Nazarite vow, so he had long. Imagine the abuse he received. I have this teaching about parenting, you know, how Samson grew up. Because he had, most men who have a problem in sexual addiction, for example, right, they actually have a big, huge problem in rejection. Speak from your father. Remove the rejection and the addiction fall off. So I look at where I studied, no one taught me this. I was in Israel with my pastors when God gave me this. I was at the place where Samson was. And I imagine Samson being abused. And his father was very weak. Remember the father? The wife was stronger. They're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. The wife says, we're going to die. Why did the angel tell us what to do for the boy? If we are dead, then no one can do for the boy. I can't even give birth, right? So the wife had more common sense, but he was. Anyway, the thing is this. Weak father or absentee father may produce a boy with challenges. Doesn't have to soul in the house of God. That's a beauty thing. Beautiful thing about the house of God. We have fathers, we have older brothers, we have role models, we have, amen? We got to love those who are fatherless. Amen? If they are without a father, you can father them. You can always, you know, buddy up with them and tell them what to do. Hey, go get them tiger. Amen? You be the voice in their life. Amen? I told my son the other day, hey, go get him tiger. You know what I mean? I don't have stripes. Anyway. So, don't cut your hair. Okay, not only that, he can't touch anything of the grapes. Nazarite vow. He cannot touch anything of the grapes. So the grape harvest is the most celebratory, it's the most happiest moment. And the kids will jump on the grapes, you know, that's how they crush the grapes and all that. It's the most happy, it's one of the greatest harvests. Wine and grapes are pictures of joy in the Bible. Amen? But he watched from far away. I always say that's when the father should say, you know what, these are little boys' games. Let me show you what a real man does. Let's go hunting, boy. That's when the father should come in. Don't neglect your sons. Don't let your domestic helper raise your boy. Don't let them be surrounded by teachers who are females all the time. Nothing wrong with ladies. They make a better job in leadership in your time because we don't take leadership. But be a role model to your son. Spend time with him. Pattern masculinity in a world that is a lot of shades of gray. You can show them what being a man is all about. Okay? And don't just leave everything. Guys, don't just leave everything to your wife. I know it's easy, it's convenient, but it's not masculine at all. It's not who God called you to be. You're the man. Alright? Being a male is a matter of birth, being a man is a matter of choice. Be a man. For pattern masculine to your son. Amen? Praise God. Wait for a while. Preach it, Pastor Prince. Good preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So it doesn't mean that, oh, I have this problem now because I don't have a father and all that. Hey, forget it. I'm just telling you the observation on for people of the world and all that. But you're in the house of God. All things are passed away. All things have become new. If a thing still comes to you and say, yeah, just, you have this problem, so just give into it because you didn't have a father, it's justifiable. Don't listen to that. Reject that in Jesus' name. You're a new creation in Christ. You have a Father in heaven, amen, who loves you. Amen? Can I have a good amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. His long hair makes him look like a woman. His weakness was where the strength flowed. As long as consciously, you know, the hair was reminding him, right, that he's weak in himself. He became the strongest man of Israel. When the time came, he delivered Israel. Amen? Unfortunately, he told Delilah a secret. And before the devil can weaken you, he has to weaken your conscious sense of your weakness. He has to weaken that. He has to strengthen you, to put your eyes on your strength, your talents, your gifts, your pluses. It cannot allow you to look at your minuses and do it wrong. By the way, it's not just looking at your minuses. It's looking at minuses and look at the Lord. But always remembering that you provide the minus, you provide the plus. And together, there's an explosion. There's power. Alright? It's not, oh, I'm so full of this, I'm so full of that. What's the power about? I'm so full of this, I'm so full of that. It's not that. It's being conscious, yes, I'm weak, I cannot do it, but He can. Even the Son Himself said the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. So, it is being aware of your consciousness, but you don't get absorbed in that, but depending on the Lord. But you never lose that sense. Sometimes we in the world of faith, we tend to say, we are strong, we are strong, we are strong. But yet we are strong in the Lord. It's in the Lord. I'm nothing without Him. And there are times I'm falling into a complaining, into negativism and all. I get to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, You are my righteousness. You are my holiness. It is the Lord. And He will never, never cut off from the vine. There's no fruit. We can do nothing.
Amen. Can everybody amen? So, let me just close by saying this. You understand Samson, right? As long as he was conscious, the moment, alright, the devil tried to put his faith in his strength. He just said, I'll shake myself. You're shaking yourself, Samson. I'll shake myself. And when the Delilah says, the enemies are here, I'll shake myself. Oh, the strength was gone. It was never your strength or your pattern. It was all the time your conscious weakness that allowed God to manifest His strength. And the devil wants you not to be. He wants you to see the way she looked at you just now. She doesn't know who you are. Say, wow, how are you talking like that, huh? Do you know who I am? Conscious pride. That's it. A lot of people are not conscious weakness. They say this about you. What do they say? Wow, they did this. Wow, thank God, man. They didn't know everything. Also brings you up, this is your right, worse than that. So are you. If the truth is not for all of us, but for Him. Amen? It's hard to push someone who's down. Like Pastor Mark might say, never mind, Pastor, you can tell me anything, I got no pride one. And I tell him that he's not happy. Okay, all of us got pride, okay? All of us. He always tells me, Father Prince, tell me about the Prince, tell me, I got no pride, man. Many a time we think we got no pride for a long time, and if something happens, wow, we are really, you know, it can be a simple thing. Maybe the attendant did not attend to you on time, or he was grumpy, you know, it's like we have a sense of entitlement. Have you noticed Singaporeans? And Americans, but especially Singaporeans, we have a sense of entitlement. We think we're entitled to the domestic worker. It's a privilege to have that. It's a privilege to be in a nation that we can have that. In America, they don't. They all clean their own house. They throw away their own garbage. All the children have assignments. You are doing on Monday, you're doing on Tuesday. Amen. Mother is doing the rest. And I have myself. They can mold their grass, you know. And we have a sense of entitlement. We get angry so far because of pride. We can thank God for your privileges. Okay, I'll stop. Yeah, I'll stop here, okay? Don't worry about it. Okay, let me bring this to a close. Praise God. And moreover, by the way, okay. Okay, this is what we like to say to God. Okay? Look at this, Isaiah 64. And this is what we want to say to God. Oh God, why don't you just rend the heavens? Come down, God. Let the mountains shake at your presence. As fire burns brushwood, fire causes water to boil. Make your name known to your adversaries. The nations may tremble at your presence. Have you ever felt like, why don't God just come down and let all the terrors all tremble and all, like God just show your power, Lord. And let all the dictators all tremble, you know?
I mean, let them melt like wax. Let them, you know, their knees have fellowship together. I mean, come on. Let us do the big. Why don't you just show your power? Because then all of us have thought of that. We know God is powerful, right? Why don't I just show himself? Rend the heavens. Let the mountains melt like wax at your presence. Let the nations tremble. One day he will return in power like that. But meanwhile, it's the age of grace. And he taught a lesson to Elijah. Elijah called fire down from heaven, and all the people shouted, "The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God!" The nation seemed to turn around, but there was no genuine revival. They went back to their old ways. That lady, that evil lady, Jezebel, was still on the throne. And Elijah ran all the way to Horeb, Mount Sinai. And then he was disappointed. "Lord, I'm the only one left, Lord. I'm the only one." God says, "Hey, I got 7,000 you don't even know." So before we are prideful and something, "I'm the only one, I'm the only one," God has people besides us. What a blow to his pride. "I got 7,000. I'm closing with this. Listen. And then there was an earthquake. I'm close to this. Okay, before that, let me just tell you this. There was an earthquake. There was a wind. But the Lord was not in the wind. And then God was not in the wind. And there's an earthquake. The whole mountain shook. But God was not in the earthquake. And then there's a fire. But God was not in the fire." All these are powerful demonstrations of God in the Old Testament, right? He even caught fire from heaven, right? All these are pictures. All this outward show does not humble a man's heart. You know what does? After all these entire three things happened, the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, but with a still, small voice, grace. Grace is what breaks the stoniest hearts. A soft tongue breaks the bone. Grace. You know what happened? Jesus came down. He did come down, but no fanfare. He came down to where he came as what? As a baby. He came to the lowliest city and died a terrible death. The Bible says, Christ crucified to the Jew who seek for a sign, a miracle, is foolishness. Sorry, it is weakness. But for the Greek who seek for wisdom, knowledge, the cross is foolishness. But the Bible says, the weakness of God is stronger than man. The foolishness of God is wiser than man. To us who believe Christ crucified is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Are you listening? King grace. Grace is what changes hearts. All the outward show does not change. And he goes on to say, drop down. All right? "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him." Now, this is quoted by Paul, and this is what I want to close with. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, we started with that. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Can you see how the Holy Spirit changed the words? Put them side by side. "Who acts for the one who waits for him, God has prepared good things, great things for those who love him." You know why the word wait doesn't appear anymore? We talk about waiting on the Lord. I understand the expression. I use that also. I gotta wait on the Lord for this. I understand the expression. But in the New Testament, you cannot find a teaching on waiting before the Lord. You find a lot in the Old Testament. You know why? Everything has been given. It's a matter of walking into it. You still spend time in prayer. You can call that waiting on the Lord. But actually, what you're doing is that you're spending time with the Lord, knowing that he has given you all things. And these things you need to discern, even in your prayer time. Amen? It's a different thing altogether. The blessings have come. And all the people said,
amen.
Now, look at the cross. Why is it the power of God? Christ crucified the power of God, the Bible says. Why? When the world get it, what power? I see a man dying helplessly at the cross. It's the power of God, because death, the greatest enemy of man, was crushed. Death, God's law was magnified. The law says the soul of sin must die. There is the death. The innocent. Not the innocent. He's not innocent. He's holy.
But the just died for the unjust. Innocent means that you have no knowledge of what is evil. Jesus does. He knows. But he's sinless. And he cannot sin. And he did not sin. Look at the cross! There! Satan's last roar was silence. There, justice is vindicated. But how is it the wisdom of God, Pastor Prince? Well, when you look at the cross, man will say, what? All is lost. That's the end. The disciple says, all is gone, all is lost. Right? But at the cross, all is gained. Even 120% more, much more than all that Adam lost. So we preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen, people? Don't be discouraged with your weakness. If you're a stammerer, a stutterer, you don't think that you're better looking than your sister, you're more talented than your brother, you don't think that, you know, you get the most likes on your social media, it doesn't really matter. The favor is on the small, the little, the insignificant. Yeah? When it's at communion time, don't despise a small piece of bread. Even a crumb falling from the master's table can drive the devil out. Amen? Thank God. When it's weak, it's small, insignificant, have eyes to see that. Amen. Maybe you're trying to pray strength into your weakness, right? But that's not, you're trying to tell God, God, take this away. Take this weakness away. God's saying, no, that's where your might is. Amen. I'm not talking about sickness. But even in sickness, there are things that can manifest. That God's healing can manifest. We learn how to be humble and go it God's way. Amen. Can I have a good amen? The world says, don't go to church. Your body needs rest. You need more sleep. Why go to church? Nothing like go to church, listen to the word, a guy preaching. By the foolishness, God has pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching, to sozo, to save, to heal, to deliver. A simple thing like going to church on Sunday, statistics have shown people go to Sunday, leave long. Sunday church, leave long. I'm not saying it, many of you have read it, right? In leading theoreticals and newspapers, right? There was a study done, those who go to church live long. Explain? No need to explain. Simple things. Communion, simple things. Simple doesn't mean cheap. It's so expensive. Priceless. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room. Perhaps, friend, you say to yourself, well, you don't understand, I'm all messed up. I took this drug prescription and now I can't break away from it. By the way, when Naaman says, are not Abana and Parpa, the rivers of Damascus, better? If you study the word Abana, it means stony. It can refer to those who depend on the law for healing, depend on their obedience for healing. But the word Abana is also from Amarna, which in Damascus today they understand is Amana. Amana is also the word used for financial support. Maybe you're trusting financial support. The rivers of the world, Damascus. And the word Parpa, the other river, is the word for fruitfulness, but swift, quick fruitfulness. Have you noticed that? You want to sleep, you take a sleeping pill. It works really fast. But before you know it, you're addicted. The ways of the world is swift results. Now, I'm not knocking medicine here. I'm just telling you, be very careful. Whatever is from the world, you can use it wisely. But like I said just now, a sleeping pill can knock you out. But before you know it, you're addicted. You can't break free from it. You gotta have more. It's the waters of Damascus. It's the river called Parpa. Quick fruitfulness, but it's not real fruitfulness. What God wants to give you is genuine fruitfulness.
might seem slow at first. Only 34. You're still waking up at night. You're still waking up at night. But tell the Lord, Lord, if the devil wakes me up, I'm going to meditate on you. I'm going to meditate on your word. Amen? The 3 hours of sleep you get is better off than the ways of the world. Are you listening? Maybe you're using anxiety pills. Now be very careful how you get all that. I'm not here to talk about pills and all that. I'm just telling you that there's a word here that God wants to set you free if you're bound by them. Whatever prescription drugs, those who are watching in GRC, God wants to set you free. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for the medicines they prescribe. But you know that medicines are not the answer. The answer is it's better for you not to have medicine. Am I right? Amen? But if you need it, use it. But don't be addicted to it. And you're using it for a long term, something the doctor says you must be on it, trust God for deliverance. Trust God that you won't have to depend on it for life. I know there are some cases you have to keep on having it. Don't throw away your medicine. Alright? Do not do that. I'm just telling you that God's ways. I'm talking about God's ways today. Amen. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved in your house. If that is you, wherever you are right now, you can pray this prayer from your heart with me, with all of us here. And you know what's going to happen? The greatest miracle of all. Pastor, just a simple prayer?
Yes.
And the greatest miracle, the miracle of being born again, salvation will happen in your life. All right, say this after me. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
They died on that cross for my sins.
You
bore my judgment. And you raised him from the dead when I was justified in him.
When I was justified.
Thank you, Father. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ.
And my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're now a child of God. You're born again. You're a new creation in Christ. Amen. All things have passed away. All things have become new. And all the people said, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage you to stand, all of you. And those of you who prayed a prayer, those who are welcome to connect points. All right? Wherever you're meeting, there's a connect point down there. Go there, tell them you prayed a prayer. And we'll place in your hands a special package from me to you. Amen. As a blessing we take home with you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I really believe that something has happened to your body that was not there just now. Something has happened to your marriage. Something has happened to your mind. Something has happened to your lifespan. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Lift up your hands all across this place. This coming week, the Lord bless and prosper your way. God make the crooked places straight. He will cause every valley, all the humble ones to be exalted, and all the mountains to be brought low, so that you walk straight. The Lord bless you with the blessings of Abraham. The Lord bless you and keep you, preserve you, protect you from every harm, danger, sickness, infection, and death itself. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord make his face shine on you, and may your faces reflect that radiance and the Lord's glory. And the Lord grant to you and all your family, your loved ones, your little ones, is shalom, peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you all.